Dear audience, welcome to the Conscious Wellness Show. I'm Raymond Morris, your host. On today's show, we are honored to have an important guest, Candia L. Sanders. Her website, if you wish to have a look during the interview, is Candia, C-A-N-D-I-A, Sanders, S-A-N-D-E-R-S.com. You can also send questions during the show to raymond@bbsradio.com. Put the word question in the subject field. And our guest's occupation is she's an international medical intuitive, a high-frequency energy healer, motivator, speaker, the ultimate optimist and outdoor enthusiast. Candia is an international medical intuitive and high-frequency energy healer, motivator, and speaker, the ultimate optimist and outdoor enthusiast. She has helped thousands of people ease their medical issues, navigate important relationships, and find their soul's purpose and life direction. She also works with lost and sick animals around the world. Candia is the author of the transcendent book, Soul Rays, Discover the Vibratory Frequency of Your Soul, which explores the choice we make before entry into the physical world and how they guide our lifetime's path. She has written a lively, magical, and spiritual children's adventure called The Adventures of Jack Star in Hawaii. Also, When Eagles Soar, From Diagnosis to Death to Open Dialogue, is her uplifting story through cancer and beyond with her husband who died in 2016. The book's goal is to offer up suggestions, tips, and tools to cultivate inner strength, emotional stamina, and resolve the turning high stress and crisis into self-empowerment. Psychic since early childhood, her great passion is the awakening of global consciousness. Personal success and failures as a healer who's been validated thousands of times by the medical establishment, as well as enabling others to really find their path to wellness, whether they be people or animals. It was difficult to embrace and finally commit to allowing my husband to take his own healing journey that eventually ended with his death. When I realized it wasn't my story or my job to take his healing or to combat his desire to expedite his demise, when I literally let go and allowed the process to unfold the way he wanted it to be, it freed me to be in the moment and discover the beauty in the process, the gold in the dust, not an easy lesson. So her books, I think, are available on Amazon. So you can reach it there, or you can go see her website for more details. Welcome to the show, Candia. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm great. Thank you. It's been a beautiful day here in the Northwest.
Whereabouts are you situated?
At the time, I'm in Oregon. I live in Central Oregon in Redmond, just outside of Bend. Most people have heard of Bend in Oregon because it's the outdoor enthusiast high spot in Oregon. Mm-hmm. I live about 20 minutes from there. So I live right next to Cascades.
Nice. How do you see the world at large today? What about the angst and the turmoil? Any suggestions for a higher consciousness perspective?
I think that is such a great question because it really is my focus today. We live where everybody is just, I think, a bit over the top, emotionally charged, ready to take action against, always against and against, instead of for things. And my personal take on all of this is we are the creators of our reality. You and I have this ability to shift and change our future just by how we think today. And I feel right now that there are so many great things that are happening, from science to art to medicine and on and on and on, that I focus on all the positive things. Even you're having me on the radio today. We are much more open to energy medicine than ever before. So my feeling is that today we have opportunities to change the world in which we live. And how we do that is by focusing on all the positives instead of the negatives. Our go-to has been traditionally, and this is, we've been ingrained in this for millennial, is to go to the negative and to worry and to fret and to respond negatively to situations instead of looking at the positive with anything that comes our way. Everybody is playing a part in this show today. Everyone has a role. And the more we all focus on what we desire rather than what we don't desire, we have the ability to change our future. So to me, today's world, we need to change it right now by focusing on the best. So in my world, today is great. Oop, I can't hear you.
So I just want to let the audience know that if they want to watch you live on Facebook with video also, they can go to facebook.com/BBS radio and click on the video menu in the left column there and be able to see the live show on video. Sorry to interrupt you there.
Nope.
We have the ability to manifest the world we desire. How do we do this? What's the best way?
Literally, if every one of us, you, me, our dogs, our cats, no, they're always easy. I'm just being funny. If every one of us from Canada, where you are, to the United States, to Germany, to China, I don't care where, if we start focusing on right now, the present, and I'll give you an example. What we tend to do is we tend to go to the past and focus on all the negatives of the past and rework, how to say that one quickly, all the past happenings in our lives, and we focus on that depression. Or we go into the what ifs of what could happen, what if this happens, what if, instead of focusing on right now, right here. And the more we get into the present moment, the more it changes. When my husband was going through cancer, as an example, what he taught me through all the things that we had to go through was to stay so very much in the present. So 24 hours became a lifetime. And it really taught me to stay more current right now with this moment, like you and I are sharing, that I didn't worry about the past or the future. And when you stay in that, you become more grateful, more in appreciation for what we have been given. We've all been given this incredible opportunity to be in physical form. And yet so many people complain about it instead of looking at this as such a great opportunity. And the more we look at the opportunities we have before us, the faster we can literally change our own personal realities. And then we have this overarching theme of the time-space continuum that we can then literally change and shift. So to me, it's not simple, but it's simple.
Why do you think humans have a predisposition to focus on the past and the future?
I think it's programming, personally. I mean, I'll use myself personally as an example. My family, I was just with them for Thanksgiving. Love them. I have the best aunts on the planet. I have a wonderful mother. You put all of them together in a room, and then you start hearing and really listening to what they're talking about. And they're concerned about this, and they're worried about that. And our family dynamic are both of those. And if you don't join into that theme, which has gone back to my grandmother, my great-grandmother, 7 generations back, I'm sure, or more. If we don't worry and fret, then we don't care. When in truth, the more you trust the other person or people that are involved, that they are doing what they're supposed to be doing, that they are living up to their best and highest program, their best and highest lifetime, then everything starts to shift. So the more we focus on all of it from that perspective by looking at our family dynamics first and foremost, and then the programming from schools, and then the programming from society, and then start to backtrack and say, okay, I need to shift this. I need to look at this and change this. So I personally have actively worked on not worrying, especially when I was raising my children, not to worry. I mean, as another example, my kids, when they were little, probably I'd say 4 and 6, we had this Tonka truck and we lived on this steep hill and they would use it like a luge. And all the neighbors were worried and always complaining to me, oh, your kids are going to get hurt. And I'm thinking, well, if they break the arm, I guess I take them to the doctors. I trusted them and nobody ever got hurt. And I've taken that same philosophy throughout their lives. I trust that they are going to do a great job. So the more that we focus on the program that we've been given over the course of our lifetime and back through the bloodlines, the more we can change it. But we have to be mindful about it. We can't just do the same old dance that we do every day. We have to be mindful.
What is maybe an approach or a technique to sort of for the minute by minute process of this mind trying to take you back to the past or take you to fearful thoughts, whether they're the past or the future? Is there a technique? Because this is a minute by minute awareness that is necessary, because it's constantly a battle, if you like.
It is a battle. Well, how I do it, and again, since I do energy work and help people, because that is my dream, is just to give people tools. And for those who are watching, you can see this, I will try and describe it well through my words, is the key for me is literally looking straight ahead. So when you're having a moment and your head is spinning into the past or the future, truly go, oops, there I go again, and look forward. Literally look in front of you and start paying attention to what everything that is before you. For example, right in front of me, I have a little tiger statue. So I focus on that because tiger's all about being happy. I have a paradise photograph that says 5 miles. I focus on that. You also can do the techniques of spelling your most favorite words, like archipelago, beautiful, canyon, arroyo, anything out of the ordinary that you can spell, because what that does is it takes your brain out of the spin and into a different place in your brain. And when you move it to another place in your brain, then you're bringing it back to the present focus. What happens energetically too is when we go to the past, we literally shift our body from right to left. And so when I'm working with people, I can see where their bodies have actually twisted the torso to the hips to the left. And then so I energetically move those back so that their torso is straight. When somebody is more anxious, it goes to the right. And what's interesting is when people are thinking these things, past or present, their eyes and their brain will literally go off to the left and will literally go off to the right. So when we bring our vision literally right back in front of us, straight ahead, and it could be that you're driving or you're walking or you're eating or whatever, look right in front of you and then start to really focus on what's in front of you. Another thing you can do is literally pull up your palms and start looking at your palms and seeing how interesting all the road signs, all the maps are on your palmistry. You don't have to know about palmistry. It's just looking at them and say, oh, isn't that interesting? Because what it does is it brings you back to the present moment. And when you do that on a daily basis, you can literally start to reprogram your thinking.
Is there a meditation technique that you teach that also may be helpful for this, to calm the mind generally?
Well, you know, usually I'm not there to teach meditation. So I do have some meditations on my website, yes. And the other thing too is I have little 5-minute meditations that I have created and sent out to individuals that are, because think about it, in today's world, what used to be 24 hours, we're down to like probably 11 hours in the day in terms of how time has shifted. So everything now, and also, let's be real, we're in the Twitter reality, so everything is in these little snippets of time, that trying to get people to say, okay, I'm going to take 30 minutes to an hour to do meditation or calm their mind, most people will just roll their eyes and walk away from me. There is the group, yes, that is very much into meditation, alternative thought. However, I am also focused on trying to reach all of those who are not in our mindset, who are not in what I would call the New Age spiritualism, regular, every average day Joe walking out there. So by giving him techniques that go, okay, you're looking right or left, let's focus on right here and now, that then helps them in a way where meditation wouldn't. When it comes to just suggesting things, what people can do is basically breathe. You breathe in through, it's an old technique where you take one finger and block the nostril and breathe in on one side, and then do that 5 times and then switch to the other nostril. Again, it gives you that opportunity to stay in the present. You could just focus on breathing in and counting up to 8 and then letting it go out to 5 and then up to 8 and out to 5 and do that for about 5 minutes. Again, ways to get your brain and your whole body calm again. So that's a good question.
It helps to balance the two hemispheres, I believe, when you do that technique.
It does.
An old pranayama yogic technique. Mm-hmm. Without getting into politics, how do you see energetically the phase we are in globally?
Actually, I think it's fantastic. Everybody thinks it's terrible. I focus on the positive because it's an awakening. It's the dying out of old dinosaurs. It's the awakening of more group global consciousness, of uniting people that are in France to Germany to China to the United States, all into oneness, I would think, more into helping one another. When we have crisis, we tend to reach our hands out to our neighbors more. So personally, I feel that we are in a good place. I don't see it as negative. What's interesting is that I'm not an astrologer. I know enough to be dangerous, but I'm not an astrologer. But for my kid's birthday, I gave them a reading with an astrologer in Paris that I was recommended to. So I did. I probably won't recommend him online or ever because he ended up with very negative readings and went into World War III, that we're going to start World War III this next year. And that's just not my belief at all. I believe that we are moving into positive unity. I really believe, I can feel it in my bones. Now, here's the interesting piece. I can say that, but you and I each have our own timelines. Every individual on this planet has their own timelines. And then we are underneath an overarching timeline creation. So your reality is totally different than my reality versus my neighbors or even my mother's. We have different realities. So
individual timeline versus group timelines or the collective timeline.
Right. And I'm sure you are right on board with that. I can tell just by your tell you're with me on that. So with that, my timeline, I always say, you want to come join my timeline because it's a very happy one. It's a very positive one where we literally are co-creating together. And in my world, and I've seen it happen. I've seen so many personal examples of this where somebody else has very similar situation that mine is good, right? And it's because I know and trust in the universe that it's going to respond positively. So I'm sure you can relate to that one too.
Yes, yeah, I can. And of course, we're probably living multiple timelines simultaneously to various degrees. So it's all very complicated.
Oh, it's so complicated. It's so exciting. I mean, if you think about it, it's crazy. It's a wonder we don't go crazy because here we are right here and now. And then you put it out that we have multiple realities in just from this experience, right? You as Raymond, me as Candia. We've got all these multiple probability factors that are going on. Then we're out there in the time-space continuum with all of our different lifetime experiences. And then you add in
choices you make, new choices you make, changes the timeline.
Absolutely. I love that whole concept on that. And then you've got the bloodline influences. I mean, it's amazing. It's not simple. It's incredibly complicated. But it's so organized and full of magic. I mean, it's so organized, the universe. It's incredible.
The solution is relatively simple, but the structure behind it is very complex, as you
say. Very well said.
Soul Rays, Discover the Vibratory Frequency of Your Soul is one of your book titles. What is Soul Ray?
Well, if we can use you as our example.
I was resisting that, but there you go.
If you're resisting, I don't have to do it.
No, you can. I'm just kidding. It's a joke.
You're right there in front of me, so it's hard for me not to.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I will explain it, and then I will use you as an example. And that is, when I started really getting into the medical aspect of being an intuitive, and it wasn't necessarily a direction that I thought I wanted to go or needed to go. It just happened to fall into place that I learned how to look into people's bodies and I can see things that, and I can readjust things and put things back into place. And I've been, like I said, validated so many times by the medical community. I find, okay, I give universe, I'm in, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. So during the readings, when I'd pull somebody's energy up, because as you know, in quantum physics, a particle can be in more place in two places at once. So I bring up the energetic body to me, and that's what I do. So I bring you to me, and I look at what's going on. And the first thing I look at, I ask a person's birthday just because it gives me an idea as to what the person is involved in terms of their astrological influences. But also then when, before life, I go, okay, so what frequency did you choose? And it's the soul ray frequency. I started writing them down, and the everything lined up so incredibly succinctly, I couldn't make this stuff up. And so I then started writing down all the different information that I had received from the different readings that I had, and then I put it and compiled into the book Soul Rays. So essentially, when we're on the other side and we choose to come back to this wonderful playground, this wonderful Eden, again, we forget about that piece, but we all choose to do that, that when we choose the date stamp, our astrological time frame, we also choose a frequency of vibration. And in this case, I see that vibration as color. Does that mean it's actually color? I don't know. Does it mean that when we leave this body, we still have that frequency? No. I feel any more than being a double Aquarian that when I leave this body, I will still be a double Aquarian. No, it just happens to be at this time and space. So when you choose to come into this life, you choose a frequency, a club, a guild, if you will, that indicates what your lifetime is going to be about, your focus, your path.
Is I got a quick question before I forget. Is when you say you join a group or a guild, is that what some people might call a soul group or a soul family, or is that different?
That's a great question. No, I don't think it is. It's kind of a group consciousness, though, because again, like all being, I don't know what you're, like I said, I'm an Aquarian. You are a
Leo.
Leo. You're my rising sign. Okay, so you know, all of those on the planet there are Leos. Would that be a group mind? Probably not. It's just a vibration of experience that you get to play out the different aspects that Leo is here to teach you and what Aquarius is here to teach me with my Leo rising and everything else. So it's the same thing with the soul ray. It is what you are here to experience within a certain bandwidth. Now, it doesn't mean you can't go out of the bandwidth and learn other things. This is what will give me indicators, you indicators of what you came here to focus on and learn, just like what Aquarius does, just as if you were to do your Enneagram and or your numerology and the I Ching, all of the different methodologies that give us insight as to who we are. The reason
is this, frequency, not the frequency, you called it signature frequency, I forget what you just called it. When you choose this lifetime, you said you choose
a vibration.
So is that vibration aligned with the main central theme of your lifetime?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Because you could choose different themes, and therefore that's why you have an option to choose a different frequency. It's not automatic based on your experience in multiple lifetimes. It's actually specific to that lifetime based on the theme that you chose to as a challenge for this lifetime.
Exactly. And like I said, I can't make this stuff up. All I did was essentially be the recorder. I can see it. I can sense it. But the reason we have these indicators of who we are, what we came here to learn, it's because we come here with such a cloud over our heads. We come here with amnesia on purpose so that we can experience and grow to our best possible selves. And then we take that information to the next. So back to the soul rays. There are 12, like there are 12 astrological signs. And we can go, I don't want to go into the concept of 12. 12 is a pretty big number. And when I first started doing it, I saw a lot of blue, and then I saw a lot of green, and then, oh, we've got some indigo, violets, and then I just kept going from there. So what they mean is every color has a different energy pattern to it. So, for example, if someone chose to come in as a red, they are the X factor people. They have no concept of what no means. Have you seen those videos, those YouTube videos where somebody's on a bike, a mountain bike, and they're riding down the ridge of the mountains? Just watching it gives me the heebie-jeebies, because if you know you make one wrong corner anyway, you're off, you're down. Those are X, those are the red race, because they are here to just be full propulsion forward. They are the very immediate people, they're very good about living in the moment. It's a very combustionable kind of expression. But there aren't that many red rays on the planet, as an example. But then those, that frequency then corresponds to the body. So now I'm going to bring you up, and we'll give you this as an example. So I just, what I just showed everybody is, for those who are watching, I bring your frequency to me. And again, we must say that Raymond's doing this reluctantly because he had a little bit of resistance.
No, I'm fully open. Okay.
I'm teasing you. So then I look at you. I can't look at you directly, actually, because I need to look at you energetically. And then I pull up your energy. I have a sense already, but I always double check with my logical mind. And yep, do you have a halo? Yep, and is it okay? This is perfect. Okay, so you came to me and you asked me, okay, what's going on with my life? And so again, I bring you up and I say, okay, when I look at your energy, in addition to you being a Leo, you came in on the vibration of indigo, which corresponds to your third eye, which corresponds to your intuition. It corresponds to your ability to be the visionary. You wouldn't be on a visionary radio show if you weren't a visionary. Probably one of your greatest gifts over the course of your lifetime, which probably caused a bit of a challenge when you were a teenager, but your ability to see ahead of what was going to happen. You could jump ahead and say, well, I could do this, and if I put my energy into this, and this could happen, and this could happen. What happens a lot with the visionaries, they get thwarted in the present because a lot of people don't have the same vision as you do. And if you're around a lot of other males, not to bash males, I'm not bashing men, love men, but if you're around a lot of teenagers at that time who didn't have that same kind of ability to be more consciously aware, more intuitively aware, more emotionally aware, then it's more difficult as an intuitive child. I think it's better today than when you and I were growing up. However, there is that element to the visionary indigo ray. In addition to that, there is an added element, which is a halo. Not everybody chooses to have a halo. I'll give you an example before I go back to you. My son, who is actually here for the holidays, he's my older son. He is 100% Blu-ray. And I'll explain what Blu-rays mean when I'm done with you. But people, I'd say it's maybe 50-50 when people decide to stay in one full ray, or for those of us, because I also have a halo, who choose to come in and say, oh yeah, I can do this. Bring it on. I can do more. So having a halo is like having a bubble around you, and the outer line is another color. Yours happens to be blue. So your main color around you is an indigo color, which has blue in it. And then the outline is definitely a blue, which corresponds to your throat, corresponds to communication, is your greatest gift, your greatest challenge. Just like being a visionary is your greatest gift, your greatest challenge, because it's your greatest gift to get this information. And it's your greatest challenge to act upon it. It's your greatest gift to be the communicator. And yet it can also be your greatest challenge as a communicator on personal relationships and business dealings, you name it. But it's just an added value to say, oh, that's what I'm here to learn. Okay, I'm going to step back. I'm going to focus on this. What can I do to become a better communicator? What can I do to act on my visionary abilities? So that's my window into somebody. And then from there, the soul ray then indicates kind of a portal into the body to see where things are or could be out of alignment. For example, with blue rays, which is your halo, which is my son's 100% soul ray, blue rays have a tendency to, because it relates to the thyroid. Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. That is my Biscuit. That is my adopted dog. My neighbor passed away a month ago, so Biscuit is my new addition. I'm so sorry. Well, I guess he's here to help us all. The Blu-ray, back to the Blu-ray, corresponds to the thyroid, and the thyroid has an ability to be kind of hangs into the negative. It has it kind of works around despair, despondency, depression. Of all the rays, Blu-rays have the most challenge with depression. And it's just because that's where their focus is. And that was one of the things they chose to do in this life, was to walk that path. So they recognize that they don't have to be depressed. They have to work at it. They need more blue sky. They need more B and D vitamins, as an example. Maybe some GABA to help with their brain balance. But Blu-rays have a tendency to be blue, right? But they're also the greatest communicators. There are actors. There are politicians. There are singers. There are poets. They are those who are out there making a difference. Politicians. Did I say politicians? They're all the people that are out there speaking. And those are the Blu-rays. And if you look at Blu-rays like Robin Williams or Kurt Cobain, or I could go down the list, so many of these great, talented people have dealt with depression and ended their lives. It's a fascinating journey. And again, like I said, you can't make this stuff up. It's incredible.
So, I can relate. Some of the problem with us Indigo people is we have too many visions and too many projects and ideas, and then you can get diluted. So,
but you're communicator. That's who you are. Visionary communicator. And you're right. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but yeah,
I get excited. No, that's okay. That's pretty much what I wanted to say. And so, just to clearly understand, when you say the soul ray, when we choose a soul ray, that's choosing the frequency of the soul ray, I suppose. And it's one of these 12 different frequencies/colors, or is that how it works?
Yes. I mean, your vision on this is probably as good as mine. I always have this image that we are with our what I would call our enlightened beings around us. I know a lot of people want to call them angels, whatever you want to call them. I don't care. It's whatever works for you, but that you have your guides that are around you and say, okay, Candia, I'll use me as an example. What's going to be your best experience in this lifetime? Are you going to choose door number one? You're going to choose door number seven, door number 12. Which one do you want to do this lifetime? What's going to be your best opportunity to grow? And then under that, okay, we're going to choose door number three. And so with that, are you going to choose, do you want to be a Leo? Do you want to be a Cancer? And then we find the right body. And then you go from there and you choose what you look like. You know, people are going, you mean I can't blame my parents? No, you get to be part of this. You choose everything from your eye color to your everything. You choose everything. And so you're getting all of this dialed in. And then you go, okay, I'm going to add the frequency in of my soul ray, my numerology. And then from there, you then go, okay, this is my opportunity to take the fast slide into a body, and this is my expression. The challenge, of course, is that as you come through the slide and then are reawakened into a human body, is to find the pathway, the symbols that show up in our lives to remind us of who we really are, including the path that we choose to walk, you know, the pathway. I'll give you another.
Just sort of our life mission in a way. Another way of saying, yeah.
Exactly. And we respond differently to things based on our, yes, this goes back to our program. We respond differently to our program, but we also respond differently based on our frequencies. You know, my two sons are very similar and yet very opposite. It's because they're completely different vibrations. My younger son is an indigo like you, and he has a halo of green. So he's a heart-centered visionary, and he's an Aries on top of it. My older son is a Virgo, and then he's all blue. So he's on top of being a Virgo, which is highly critical. Then he wants to go out and be the pleaser and be the creative sort, you know, the blue wave frequency. So it's once you know these things, it really helps. Like when I was raising my children, it really helped me to be a better mother, honestly, to help guide them in ways that would benefit both of their journeys. The key, of course, too, is remembering to learn to stay in your light. You know, a lot of philosophies, meditations, visualizations, spiritual people will talk about being in white light, that surround yourself with white light. I'm all over that as well. And yet I also am a believer in, if you know your soul ray, for example, I've got you in your bubble of light, is to see yourself every day in this circle, this halo of light around you, literally above your head, around the sides and below you. And when you're in that bubble, you are the operator of your own ship, so to speak. And when you're in that bubble of your indigo with the blue, then all the negative energies out there are like Teflon on the outside of your boundaries of light. And then you operate from a place of love. And it literally can change your life.
So just visualizing that for maybe 5 minutes every morning or something like that?
And for those who are just learning, a tool I would highly recommend is when you get out of bed, it's what I call instant light yoga, is you literally stretch, for those who are watching, over your head, hands up, and then you arc your hands to your side, literally creating a full arc of light around you as if your fingertips are touching the light, and you drop that down to your legs, and then you visualize that light coming underneath your feet. So you're completely surrounded in this bubble of bright light. The reason being is then you are in alignment, your chakras start to line up, and then through your third eye and through your crown, that light, you visualize that light going up through your light bubble to your higher self and connecting with the best of the universe, the best of yourself. And then you are then, you know, you bring it back down into your space. You then have the ability to see your life path. You have the ability to follow your script much more readily. When you're out of your light, you're in the dark, and you start collecting energy. Our auric fields are electromagnetic. And think about that, magnets. So if you're out there and all the negativity starts to collect on you, you know, you start ending up with all this negative energy around you, and then you start processing somebody else's emotions and thinking and thoughts, then we get very convoluted. When you're in your light and you're centered and you're grounded, very important aspect too, and you have the boundaries of light around you, you proceed through life. I mean, this is the biggest tool. I just get so excited about it. This is the simplest, easiest tool to change your life right now, to change the world. It's just to get in the habit of being in your light, coming from a place, a state of grace, of love, and coming from that element. And when you literally come from your heart and you're bringing that information down within your light, you get to see your path, and it literally will change your life, my life, the world. It's like if we all join hands on this, we can change the world.
Should we ground this light into Mother Earth?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Grounding. Thank you for bringing that up. When we ground, you see, visualize, and you know how to do this, I know, but visualize through our feet, growing long roots into the earth. And how I do it is I visualize oak roots, because oaks are our strongest trees. And you bring those roots literally down into the earth, and then I anchor them into the crystalline core of the planet, which is a very high frequency. And the more we anchor into the crystal of the planet, the crystalline energy, we then bring that energy back up to the earth, back up through our bodies into the crystals that are forming now in our pineal gland. And that connects us then to our spiritual aspect. So we are creating these wonderful vehicles of light when we do this. So yes, grounding is huge. And back to the circle around us, when we reinforce that light, we are reinforcing our boundaries. So many people today are not taught boundaries, and they say yes instead of no, and no instead of yes, and they want to please, they do destructive things. When boundaries are back into place, they're going to start taking care of themselves, oxygen on first, making better decisions and choices based on other people, on themselves. So this little key element of boundaries, grounding, and light around you, again, is very simple, doesn't take much time, and is life-changing.
Simplest thing you can do to make a difference.
Exactly.
That's what our society likes.
Mm-hmm.
Your last book, When Eagles Soar, is about your personal journey through cancer. How does this apply, and how can it apply to anyone listening to us?
That book was a several-year journey. My husband was diagnosed in 2013, and he passed in 2016, in January 2016, almost 4 years ago, next month. And through that process, I learned so much. It was a gift, truly it was. And when I learned how to step back from it and realize, okay, it's not my job here, my job is to be the best supporting actress on this, I started taking notes. I wrote it down. I wrote things in my blogs and I put it forth in a book. And just because I am such an innate teacher, that's just who I am. 100% I'm a teacher. It's hard for me not to have an experience and not turn it around and say, okay, this is what you can learn from this. I did this. You don't have to do this, but if you do it this way. So my book is essentially about those kinds of events that happened on a weekly, monthly, even daily basis. And I shared, and they're very short chapters, which is really good again for today's society. You don't have to read very long to get the information out. That's very poignant and pointed and full of information that is beneficial to anyone who is going through any kind of a challenge. It could be a job, it could be a move, it could be, you know, a divorce. It doesn't matter what it is, a loss of a pet, that you can then take that experience and then apply it to your own life. And I've had people from all walks of life read it and really respond positively that it helped them with their own personal tools.
I know you also work with animals. Not a lot of people do. And I had a case where I was trying to figure out what was wrong with my pet. And we were thinking of speaking to an animal communicator. We never got around to it, but there must be people out there that would like to hear about that.
Oh, I work with animals all the time, actually. I just was talking with someone yesterday who just lost her pet. And then last week I was talking with somebody that with lost pets, and animals are unique and special because people resist this because it's different. It's not regular medicine. It's allopathic, or it's not through regular means. Whereas animals are going, I'm in, do what you want to do, your magic. So, and I'll use an example of my dog, Charlie. My vet always said, she goes, he's alive because of love, because I work on him energetically. And because he's a rescue, and he's had autoimmune deficiency since we got him. So, and yet he's almost 13 and a half. He's half husky, half wolf. He's still here because of energy medicine. Animals are unique. They have a totally different concept about being here. They don't see life and death as much different. So when you have a pet that passes or is getting ready to leave, as in this case of this cat yesterday, they don't stress about it because they're in the body, even though I know there are a lot of people that will contradict that. But when it comes to their soul frequency, it's a different, higher attitude about things, and that they're out of their body and they're back into the group collective and life is good and wonderful. They do take on things of their owners, you know, their people, if you will. And so as an example, it's almost miraculous. This dog that you heard in the background, that's Little Biscuit. I call him Mr. Biscotti. I've had him now a month. He has a heart murmur, and his lady person, who is a good friend of mine, was totally unexpected. She ended up, didn't know this, she had a heart attack and died from it, whereas he had just been diagnosed a couple weeks before with this heart murmur. I feel on an energetic level, he'd been pulling some of that to keep her around as long as possible. Animals do that for us.
There's lots of anecdotes and stories of people being saved by their pet, even mm-hmm. pets knowing who's going to die in a hospice. And that's been well documented.
He knew. Yeah. He knew when I saw it, because I was the one who found her. He knew to shoot him. I mean, I didn't pay attention to him, but I paid attention to him because my focus was on her. But he knew. Absolutely, he knew. So is your pet still, is your cat, is this the one you have now?
Yeah.
You were going to ask?
Yeah.
Is it a physical thing?
Yeah, he has FIV, I suppose, feline HIV, basically. And then it causes problems with his mouth ulcers, and there's a name for the condition and stuff. So
how old is he?
We don't know, because he was a stray cat. So, but figure of guessing. Are you able to get a reading on that?
I'm going to look at him right now, if you don't mind.
Do you want his name?
What is his name?
Muffy.
Muffy. I'm going to ask him, first of all, how old he is. He's older. Yeah, he's about 11. He's older probably than he was.
Actually, I was guessing about 12. So
yeah, he's 11, and that it's so weird. This is going to sound really bizarre, but it's almost like he picked up this dis-ease on the streets, and it was just because of circumstances, meaning his immune system was pretty low when something, you know, came in and you know, slammed him. However, if you don't mind, I'm going to work on him. And this, again, this is what I do. You can see what I do is I literally have Fluffy right in front of me. And first of all, his structure is off. I will help him feel better just structurally. It's because cats, this is literally, and I do this with people, which is the cervical spine. And then, and I just check 12 levels on that. And then the thoracic spine and then the lower spine. And then his shoulders, his front shoulders. He's just, poor guy. He's more uncomfortable because of structure, right? And his energy is low. His immune system is definitely compromised, but he's hanging in there. He doesn't have any plans of leaving for a while. Structure, hips, feet. His feet are off a little bit. Again, it's just structure. So do you have him on anything like MSM, glucosamine?
He takes an anti-inflammatory. The pharmaceutical one, unfortunately, but he, what else? We're giving him some lysine, some other vitamins, right. Some yogurt probiotics.
Keep up all of those. Just add in a good, he needs a good MSM product, something that has the methyl sulfide.
I know what you're talking about.
Right. And then glucosamine is not as important for him as the sulfur. And then you add, and so you can even, Devil's Claw is one of those things that's really good. You don't find it, he doesn't need it, I guess. Devil's Claw, I always check though, because it's a great herb for getting into the connective tissues that helps them to absorb it. But MSM and then something else with that will really help his overall ability to move. Everything else you're giving him is in very good vibration with him, keeps his immune system stabilized. He's happy, you know, he's actually very happy and content being with you. He's going, oh, I can relax now. I can stretch out, enjoy the sun in the window. Life is good. So his attitude is really good considering. In fact, if you want to know the truth, it's like HIV, you know, HIV shmashy, you know, he kind of mushes. It's like, what's that? I don't care. That's not, I don't care. He doesn't hold on to the vibration. He's not on a daily basis. He's just, he is. If that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. He had some teeth removed that helped his mouth situation. So I don't think he's in any serious pain right now. That's made him a lot happier in the last few months. So
I'm going to take all his, the chakras, which correspond to the endocrine system, which is in this case his immune system. We're going to amp it up, activate it and clean it up. And then we're going to take all his meridians, which correspond to his organs, and just activate those, clean them up and activate his organs just to give him some more energy overall. So he's more vibrant and more alive and more perky. So
excellent.
He's not leaving for a while.
Well, thank you very much for that. Thanks on behalf of Muffy.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Besides, it's fun.
The only other person I ever met that was called Muffy was when we went to the vet and said his name and the secretary said, oh, my friend's called Muffy. We made up that name and we were going to call him Muffin. We didn't like it. We called him Muffy, but apparently there are other humans with that name. Funny, it would be at the vet, though, that would happen. But there you go.
That's true. That's very true.
So what does it mean to be conscious?
Oh, that's such a great question. That's actually very deep. You and I could talk about this for the next 24 hours. Just in simple form is being...
Just by the way, we got about 5 minutes left. So just...
Okay. I got to talk fast. It's actually being mindful. It's being cognizant. It's being aware of how your old cassette players, your VHS, your 33 records are playing in your head. The more you're aware of that and more cognizant of the old tapes that are part of your subconscious and are more actively aware of who you are, your choices, your decisions. I realize that this is a repetitive thing, but it's really so important because, again, most people ignore all this and become very present. Then we become more conscientious. And of course, I'm a believer in education, right? Just good old basic education. I mean, I'm a believer in intuitiveness. That's what I do, but I'm also a believer in education. So the more that we expand our basic knowledge, and then that allows us to be more wise in our decisions. You know, it's interesting. There was a TV show, I couldn't even tell you what it was, that I was watching with my son the other day, and you could see the difference, and they played it out very well, the difference between somebody who's uneducated and coming from a place of what I'd call darkness, and somebody who had more education on the situation and had more awareness on how to handle the situation better. So again, as a human being, I think it is just how I feel, because I'm truly the intellect, is to really invite people to be more educated, to educate themselves. It doesn't mean you have to go to school, but take the time to learn. Learn as much as you can about the topics that you love, and then apply your intuition to that. Trust your guts. Trust your instincts.
I always saw it as the intellect, or the ability to be rational, as a way to verify that the intuition is coming from a high source.
Because
you could get stuff from a low source, think it's your intuition, because it's, you know, unless somebody becomes really, really good at hearing that soft voice, you could be mistaken from some other voice, from some other source. As you know, we're like radio receivers. So the mind, the intellect allows you to double check that this makes sense, that this would be a higher source.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's where being in your soul ray light makes a difference. Then you educate your mind, then you take your head off, literally pick your head up and put it down and drop your energy into your heart, and then ask your heart on those big questions. Is this in my best interest to, should I take this job? Should I move? Should I get a divorce? Whatever the questions are. Now, do I stay in this relationship forever? All of those things, you take your head off and come into your heart and then ask from that place. You can do this with everything.
I have a whole heap more questions, but we don't have time to go through them, especially the one on the multiverse and the multiple densities and lifetimes. That would take an infinity in itself. But since we have basically 1.5 minutes left, I think you should share with people any upcoming classes or workshops, services people can get from you, anything else you wish to share.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's easy to find me. My name, Candia Sanders. You can Google that, and all sorts of things come up. My website, my blog. I've tried to simplify all of the stuff I had out on the web for a while, brought it down very simple. It's on Facebook. Honestly, I'm not on Facebook all that much. I'm not really great with social media, but I'm great with texting. You can get my phone number. You can get my email. As for classes, I have usually...
You want to give out your email?
It's just, yeah, sure. It's CandiaSanders@Yahoo.
Okay.
That's real easy. And Sanders.com.
And the phone number?
360-608-9555.
Okay.
Go ahead. They start up in January. I don't have all the titles yet. I haven't organized that yet. I've been dealing with my neighbor's death, my friend's death. So those have gone kind of on hold. So as of probably mid-month, I'll have my classes lined up.
So you have various services that turn around, giving people guidance and giving them tools. Tips.
Absolutely. And like I said, it's like working with a cat. I can see if your structure is out of alignment, and I can literally help you feel better. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. And so we can work on that. We can work on relationships. People come to me for everything, literally from all over the world. So I feel very, very fortunate that for cyberspace, because that's where people find me.
And you can do this through Skype or telephone, yep, or any method, really, I presume.
WhatsApp is the best.
WhatsApp. Okay. Yep. Excellent. Well, let's give out your website one more time, CandiaSanders.com. So all that information she has mentioned is up there, and you can contact her there and see more details on the different variations of the distant healing, distant guiding. And well, hopefully we'll get a chance to have you back. But I will speak to you, let you know how Muffy's feeling in the next week or so.
That would be great.
We'll keep in touch. Thanks a lot for coming on the show. Candia Sanders from California. We wish you blessings from the divine.
Thank you, Raymond. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy holiday to you too. Next week, our guest will be Natalie Zitouni from California and Israel. Her website is Natalie, spelled N-A-T-A-L-I-E, Z-E-I-T-U-N-Y.com. We would like to thank our show technician, the Honorable Donald Newsom, and our show sponsor, Communion Marketing Communication, Wellness Marketing Experts, Strategic Planning, Website Design, New Revenue Specialists, Automation, etc. You can see the website, communionmarketing.com. If you'd like to be a sponsor on the show, advertise during the show, and get great exposure within the wellness community, please contact us for our information packages. And if you wish to be interviewed also, you can contact us. My name is Raymond Morris. Phone number is 514-798-2737. Raymond@bbsradio.com or on Skype. Username is Raymond Morris, all in one word. May the grace and the blessings of the divine creator be bestowed upon each and every one of you. Your host, Raymond Morris, out for this week. See you next week, same time. Namaste.